Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Apopo, Head Pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed.
Give Jesus a mighty clap, please. Right, can we stand and read the word? Let's honor the word. Thank you. Let's honor the word. Genesis chapter 18. Going to read a long passage this morning, but let's flow. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter number 18, verse 22 to 33, to the end of that chapter. Everybody, then the man turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, will you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? I can't hear you. To do such a thing as this. To slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I'll spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now I am but dust and ashes. But I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. I will not destroy. 29. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of the 40. Then he said, let not thy Lord be angry. I'll speak one more time. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, get back, please. Don't go ahead of us. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. 31. And he said, indeed now, I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of the 20. Then he said, let not thy Lord be angry. I'll speak but one more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. But the Lord added his blessing to his word. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated. All right. Now, let's turn our Bibles quickly. We have just read from Genesis 18. Okay. So let's go straight into the word of God. I want to talk about, still talking about Father Abraham, walking in the footsteps of Father Abraham. We have learned a great deal about this friend of God, father of faith, founder of the nation of Israel. Everything about him is so special that in the New Testament, Jesus said we should walk in the footsteps of the faith of Father Abraham. So far, we have learned a number of things from his lifestyle. We've learned about his family life, his outreach life. We have learned about his generosity. Last 2 weeks, we learned about the faith life of Father Abraham. Today, I want to touch on the prayer life, the prayer life of Father Abraham. If there's one thing we have to emulate from this great man,
It is his prayer life. He was a man of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Abraham prayed everywhere and anywhere. As a matter of fact, wherever Abraham went, he raised up an altar. Every city, you know, he was a sojourner. Every city that he settled on, the first thing Abraham would do is to raise up an altar. Now, what is an altar? An altar is a place where communication is made between man and God. And Abraham had such a strong prayer life that the Bible says every morning he will return back to the place of prayer. Let's look at Genesis 19:27. Every morning. So consistent in his prayer life that in Genesis 19:27 thereabout, Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. So again and again, he goes back to the place of prayer. He had a closet life. A place where he met up with God. A prayer altar dedicating to meeting up with God almost on a daily basis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, before we look into details about the prayer life of Father Abraham, I want to say that in my years of walk with God, I have noticed that prayer is probably one of the most mystical things in our faith walk. Very mysterious, very mystical, sometimes almost nonsensical. It doesn't make sense to the logic man. Sometimes it almost feels like you are praying into the air. As a matter of fact, if you have watched carefully, when somebody is in serious prayer and you stand back, especially with charismatic, you may think he's mad. Who knows what I'm talking about? Is he all right? Is he normal? Some will say he's talking to himself. Even Father Eli saw Hannah and said, is she all right? She must be drunk. She must be crazy. What is this? And especially with charismatics and Pentecostal, Shabbataya, Kabayaya, Koradada, Kametoya, Kamaya. What does it mean? Hey, but something potent is happening. Bible says the foolish, he uses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Prayer. It looks so crazy when you see somebody praying. And sometimes you yourself, when you are praying, you wonder. But I've walked with God for some time and I've come to know that if there's anything that is potent in our walk with God, it is prayer and the power behind prayer. And it will interest you also to know that all forms of people pray. All kinds of religion pray. In fact, I was reading that even 6% of atheists say they pray every day. What a shock. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? You say you don't believe in God, so who are you praying to? But 6% of atheists pray every day. 11% pray 3 times in a week. Traditionalists pray as I see, that Jewish pray 3 times a day. Muslims 5 times a day. I could go on Hindus, Shintos. My sister was in somewhere Scandinavia country, and he was amazed at the rate of idolatry. And yet every morning you see people putting chocolate and biscuits on flowers, and you ask them what they are doing. They say they are giving it as food to their gods. A form of prayer. It's amazing that no matter who you are and what you believe, prayer is almost an inherent part of our walk in this life. And you cannot do without prayer. And for us as Christians, it moves to the next level when Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, very powerful scripture there. He said, praying always for us as believers. It's not 3 times. It's not 5 times. It's not 10 times. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, I believe, 6:18. This is also a good one, but let's go to 6:18 quickly. Praying always with all kinds of prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Always, church. For us, there is no specific time. There's no evening, night, morning. when you are in the washroom, when you are coming out, when you are in the bathroom, when you are in the kitchen, anywhere, everywhere is an ideal time. You can call on God and He will answer by fire. I am here today to charge you to keep on praying, because the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man, saith the Lord, makes tremendous power available. And this man, as we end on our 90-day prayer chain, I see tremendous power come down. I see fire come down. I see results come down. May God answer your prayer anyway, anyhow. Put your hands together for the Lord. May God. Praying always with all prayer. Now, I like that word, the KJV and NIV says, all kinds of prayer. Kutu. Ayayaya. Ayayaya. Kebayaya. Kobayaya. Kimadada. Kuradada. All kinds. Sometimes it's like you are shooting. Sometimes it's like you are singing. Ilamarandoza. Ayamakoraba. I worship you. Whatever it is, it's a kind of prayer. And if there's a man to pray, there is a God to answer. And I declare by faith this season, there's a God whose ears are inclined to the prayers of His saints. My Bible says, to you who hear prayer, all flesh shall come. May God answer you this season. May God answer you. This morning, we are looking at the first recorded prayer in the Bible. As a matter of fact, man began to pray after the fall, Genesis 4. But this, what we just read, is the first recorded prayer in the Bible. I want to pick up a few lessons from it this morning and charge ourselves up for the month ahead. Because Abraham, the man of prayer, dialogued with God in a very unique way, and it teaches us a lot of lessons, and we can glean so much from it to nourish and enrich our prayer life. I want us to start with verse 22 and look at this first ever recorded prayer in the Bible. Then the man turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. I like that. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Abraham had just had a very bad news. Sodom was in trouble. His brother, family, everybody is about to be wiped out. The whole city of Sodom, their sin is grave, according to Genesis 18:20. God says, I'm going to wipe these people out of the surface of the earth. And when he heard that bad news, Bible says, the angels turned, ready for action. They turned towards Sodom, ready to accomplish what they have been sent to do. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. Hear me. I don't know which bad news you have heard this week, but you must still stand before the Lord. I don't know the doctor's report that has come that is contrary to your expectation, but you must still stand before the Lord. I don't know what the conditions in your family is like, but hey, you are smarter still standing before the Lord. It doesn't matter what happens. I like the NIV said, and Abraham remain before the Lord. Lift your hand and say, I'm still standing. Somebody say, I'm still standing. I have a problem, but I'm still standing. It looks like my prayer is not going anywhere, but I'm still standing before the Lord. I don't feel like praying, but I'm still standing before the Lord. You must pray in spite of. Even when you don't feel like. Still standing. I like this phrase, still standing. Because the other day I checked in, is it John chapter 8? The woman caught in adultery. They were getting ready to stone him. Jesus said one thing. Everybody disappeared. And Bible says, and the woman was still standing before the Lord. I know you have issues in your life. I know there are skirmishes in your life. But if you can hold on a minute and still stand before the Lord, I see God bringing answers to your life. Say, I am still standing. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes it's not easy to pray, but But you must still stand before the Lord. And verse 23 says, and he drew near. And he drew near. Another verse says, and Abraham came near. My Bible says, draw near to the Lord, and he will draw near to you. I pray to God that this man, somebody will draw near. Say, Lord, I have issues. Lord, I had a bad report. Lord, things are not going on, but I am drawing nearer. Because if you can draw near, God will draw near to you. May God draw near to somebody this morning. Hallelujah. Still stand before the Lord. He approached the Lord. I've got to talk to my God, number one. Talking about seven things we can glean shortly from this. So number one, he stood. He still stood. He drew near before the Lord. Number two, notice it was an honest, open conversation with the Lord. Honest, open conversation with the Lord. There was no liturgy. Hear me? There was no organized prayer in this discourse. You see, liturgy or organized prayer came way ahead in the New Testament when the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And what Jesus even gave them was not a prayer line, it was just a format. But in those days, there was no liturgy, there was no organized prayer. Abraham just flowed in the presence of his father. He just opened up his mouth and conversed with a friend. I don't know how many theologians are here that like to punctuate their prayer with a certain kind of discourse, with a certain kind of language. You know, and sometimes when we talk like that, we feel we are in prayer. But hey, can I talk to you? Prayer must just be heartfelt, it must be open, and it must be sincere. As long as a man can talk to God, there is a God who is ready to listen. You don't need liturgy. You don't need to go to Bible school. You just have to pour your heart before the Lord. Pour your heart. Sarah said, Hannah said, I am not drunk. I am pouring my heart. This morning I see somebody pouring his heart. You just have to speak to your father. He is your father. Listen. People come to church and talk to me all the time after service. They come with all the cliches. They come very prim and proper. But not my daughter and my son. They know that they can enter. They know they can come to me and pour their heart and say it as it is. Because daddy will do it for me. I pray to God that you be honest in your prayer. Sincere prayer produces great results. Check the prayer. Will you do this? Far be it from you to do this. The just God of all flesh, do this to his own? Is that the way you are? You can't do that to your own people. Lord, you've got to come through. You may think it's some way, but every one of them God answered. Oh, am I talking to somebody? The problem with our prayers is that sometimes they are marked with too much traditionalism. And sometimes vocabulary, I mean, big words, thinking that we impress God. No. You've got to come sincere and pour your heart out. Look at Moses in prayer to God. He said, God, are you going to kill all of us on the way? What would the foreigners say? You brought us out, you couldn't bring us in. You have made us die on this wilderness. What would they say? Your name is at stake, Lord. You've got to come through. Pour out your heart. Say it as you feel. He understands your pain. He's ready to listen to you. Thank God for cliches, but it doesn't impress God. Let's bear out our heart before God. One day Moses said, if you don't, your presence doesn't go with us, I am not moving an inch. That's prayer. That's sincere prayer. One day I was praying in the heat of my challenges at night, and my wife overheard the prayers. And in the morning she woke me up and said, what was that you were saying to God? I said, you'll get there, don't worry. You'll get there. There's a level you can talk to God like your father. You can talk to God like your friend and pour out your heart. And this man was a friend of God. He knew how to dialogue with God. Number three, he reasoned with God. It was a reasonable discourse. Will you kill the righteous with the wicked? Is that how you do it? Will you? He made arguments. He presented a case. Isaiah 1:18. Let us come and present our case before the Lord. Let us argue the matter. Let's argue. Listen, God wants reasonable people to talk to him. And thank God for tongue speaking. Thank God for all that we do. But Paul said, I'll speak in the language of the Spirit and I'll speak with my understanding. There comes a time you must reason with God. You must begin to state your arguments. Now I remember telling God that season, is this the end of the road? Is that how you treat people who have worked with you all these years? That cannot be. Served you from my youthful days 10 years? No, God. That's not the kind of God I know. Come, let us reason together. God likes intellectual discourse. And hey, hear me, charismatic. Thank God for tongue speaking. And probably I speak tongues more than most of us here. But hey, it doesn't exempt you from sometimes picking a language of your understanding and praying prayers that will make sense and appeal to the mind of God. God understands reason and he will listen to reason. Hear me? Unfortunately, a lot of charismatics do not know how to pray in the local parlance. Pray so much in tongues that we can't put 5 sentences together without praying in tongues. We can argue. We can present our case before the Lord. But there's a way. Moses negotiated. Abraham negotiated. These people knew how to negotiate with God. Come, let us reason together. Very important. Very important. Carry words. Hosea chapter 1 are one of my favorites. Hosea chapter 14. Watch this. Hosea 14. Quickly. Oh Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take words and go, carry words. And say, take away our iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer sacrifices with our lips. Carry words. Make sure you are making a sound argument. King Hezekiah said, I can't die now, Lord. No, I've served you wholeheartedly and with a wholehearted devotion. You can't take me away now. You've got to change my days. You've got to change my story. And God said, get back, prophet. You're almost like a false prophet now. But get back and tell him I've added 15 years. That's a man who knows how to carry words before God. This month, I declare somebody carrying words before God. Hallelujah. I have 2 children, Adam and Kezia. Adam is a gentleman. He comes and says, Daddy, whatever you give me. Birthday, what do you want? Anything. Or maybe he'll mention something tech because that's what he likes. Few words, doesn't give any raps, nothing. But not my daughter. When my daughter comes and says, Daddy, I know trouble is coming. Daddy, then he says, you are the richest daddy in the world. I know I'm finished. I know my pocket is finished. I remember just his father, he called me from school and said, hi, Daddy. That's my daddy, the rich daddy. Listen, what father, when you say rich daddy, will not perform on your behalf? When he says that, even if I don't have money, my head swells 3-4 times. And I'm ready to push something through because there's a daughter who believes his daddy is the richest in the world and I must provide. I see God coming through to somebody who is smart enough
intelligent enough to carry words? Will a righteous God do? Will the judge of all men do this? Is that your character? Is that your character? Is that how you behave towards your people? No, you've got to do something. Somebody say, Daddy. I say, somebody say, Daddy. Allah, mama. When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, the double-breasted God. And then my daughter sat me and my mother down and said, I am telling you people, when I get there, don't say you can't provide. I said, yes, madam. I said, please. He said, I've seen all that you are doing for Adam. When I get there, I don't want any excuses. I said, yes, madam. It shall be provided on the mountain of the Lord. I see somebody rising up in prayer and stating your case. Let's reason together. Number four. It was a humble plea. It was a humble plea. Yes. Yes, we pray to God. Yes, we state our case. But remember that you are but flesh. Go in humility. There's one thing that God has a soft spot for, and that's humility. Bible says in his case, Jesus, talking about Jesus, with loud cries and tears, he made his request known to God, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Humility. Humility. Therefore, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humility will open doors before the Lord. How do I know he was humble? Verse 27, KJV also says, now that I am but flesh, I am but dust, but I am determined to talk to my God. Listen, when you come before the Lord, remember who you are. You are a man, just a mere man. Yes, go in confidence. Yes, state your case. But please be humble in your plea. Because to you who hear prayer, all flesh shall come. God, Bible says, he remembers we are but flesh. He remembers in our low estate. He knows we are nothing. And you better go with that. And say, Lord, I am but flesh. But one more time, I want to talk to you. I have weaknesses. I have shortcomings. But I want to talk to God. I want to plead with you. Come to me. Come through for me. Listen, Bible says, Elias was a man of like passion. Means he had weaknesses like you. Listen, one of the things the enemy does time and time again when we go before God is to accuse us. To tell you are not worth it. God will not answer you. Because look at this you did yesterday. Look at that. God will not listen to you. But hey, go in humility and say, I'm but flesh. Bible says he remembers that we are but flesh. He knows your frailties. And he can still hear you. Can you imagine how many minutes or hours Abraham engaged the Lord that day? He said, please don't be angry. I still want to talk to you. And the Lord was waiting. He was standing. May God stand for you this season. As you stand in his presence, may he stand for you. Say, I will listen to that one too. On the Amos Road, the guys were whining and complaining. They were saying things. We have not even found him. And Jesus was in their midst and he was listening. May he listen to your prayer this season. Flesh. Flesh we are. In our lowest estate. And yet he will listen. Hallelujah. Number what? Five. Number five. He appealed to a just God. He appealed to a just God. He said, God, let your justice come into play. You are a God of justice. Will you kill the wicked and the righteous together? Is that the way you do? He said, God, you've got to be just. Now hear me. 25. That's what I'm talking about. Just God. Now hear me. Now the problem with justice, and everybody listen to this, don't miss this one. The problem with justice is that anytime we talk about justice, people think about judgment. But justice does not always mean judgment.
especially in the eyes of God. In fact, in God's eyes, justice sometimes means His goodness and His mercy coming on you.
Oh, can I talk to somebody here? I know that is too far-fetched for you. But when God says He's just, it doesn't always mean punishment.
No, make no mistake. Sometimes He's talking about His goodness towards you. How do I know? John 1:9. He said, if you confess yourself, He is faithful and what? Just. He's faithful and what? Just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. This morning, may the God of justice come through for you. May He show you goodness and mercy. His justice sometimes means you have done it, but I let you go free. I want to be kind to you. I want to be good to you, because my son Jesus has paid for the punishment. That is the justice of God. That's the justice of God. I am faithful and just to forgive. And hear me. All through this discourse, you will notice that God wanted to save the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. He wanted, if He didn't really want to save them, He wouldn't have even mentioned it to Abraham. Why? One day, He told Moses, you are going to die. And Moses said, no, God, you can't say that. God said, it's settled, this matter. Don't come to me again. It's finished. But for God to stand and listen again with negotiation, 50, 45, 30, 40, 30, 20, 10. God will say, I want to have mercy on them. I want to show them mercy. I want to change their story. This morning, may God show somebody mercy. I want to show them mercy. I want to show them my loving kindness, which surpasses all understanding. Yeah. Vengeance for my sake. Fight for me. That's a just God. He wanted to do them good. Really, He did. We are talking about the ark of the of His presence lately. Hear me. The ark of His presence, the first thing you encounter when you get to the ark is the mercy seat. That's the first thing, is the mercy seat. You can't get inside the ark until you encounter mercy. And God sits on the mercy seat. So the Bible says, therefore, let us come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in times of need. I see you receiving mercy this morning. As I see you receiving mercy this morning, if you can come boldly, boldly, and Abraham was bold to negotiate 50, 45, at the point say, I am bold. I am but flesh, but I'm bold. I want to talk to you. God likes bold people. And I see somebody asking God for some bold, audacious things. This month, start asking God for things that only God can do. Listen to me. In this house, we have seen things that only Jehovah God can do. Can I talk to somebody? If the vision is not too big than you are, Jehovah God will not step in. The vision must be bigger, that it's almost impossible for it to happen without God. I speak into your life. If you can be audacious this season, if you can be bold this season and come boldly, God is about to surprise you with great things in your life. Things you have never imagined. This season is coming into your life. Put your hands together for the Lord. So number six, it was a bold request. It was a bold plea. 10. And hear me. Can you imagine that God was ready to spare a whole city because of 10 righteous people? Because of 10. He was ready to spare. That's how good God is. I'm coming. That's how good 10. And the whole city, He said, I'll spare them because of 10. You see, sometimes when we look at the evil around us, we think that the light is small. But listen, we don't need a big light to shine on the world. A little light, just a little match, can spark up and bring light to the whole world. I declare to you, let your light shine this season. It can save your family. It can save your friends. It can save people around you. Just a little light. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Sometimes we talk about too much evil and wickedness in the world, but God sees your light and it's shining over the rest, and he says, I'll save them because of you. Put your hands together for the Lord. 10. But I'm closing now. Hear me. There is just one problem with this prayer. Just one. Father Abraham, one small little problem. And this problem is my problem and it's your problem. Hear me. All of us, like our father, some of us can pray and pray and pray and pray, and just when your breakthrough is at the corner, You stop. You get tired. 2 months you have been praying and fasting. We are in the last month. Suddenly, you get tired. Suddenly, you are not coming online again. Suddenly, you are not appearing in the meeting again because you are tired. And oftentimes, you remember Ashingaway in a disco? You can run the 300 meters. The last 100 meters. And people are passing him. People are passing. And your roommate who used to do that. Hacha is. And people are passing him. I see you finishing well in this season. I see you not stopping this season. Listen, Abraham should have persevered just a little bit. He could have said, if you had one, will you destroy them? And just one would have been enough. After all, when we come to the New Testament, is it not the righteousness of one man, Ayakabadao? One man's righteousness has saved the entire humanity. Just one is enough. Just one. But Abraham stopped at 10. And this morning, God sent me to tell you, don't stop here. I know you've been praying for 5 years and you haven't seen the answer. Don't stop yet. I know sometimes you feel like God is far off. Sometimes you feel like you are speaking to the wind. It's like this thing will never happen. But if you can persevere, listen, every teaching Jesus taught on prayer, he taught on perseverance. Check it. Every prayer he talked about. Ask, seek, knock. The unjust lawyer, he kept going. He kept going. The friend who was in bed, he kept knocking. He kept knocking. Every prayer he taught was about perseverance. If you don't stop, you will see the glory of God. I know you failed yesterday, but keep on keeping on. And Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Don't stop, my friends. Your breakthrough is just around the corner. You will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. If you can only push further a little more. And hear me, I'm closing. Prayer is always like that. Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel. Send the sun. Go watch. I don't see nothing. Second time, I don't see nothing. Third time, how many of you have prayed 2 months and it's like you haven't seen anything? Sometimes it's like nothing is happening. Sometimes you pray and it's like the heavens are shut on you. You are sleeping. Get up. Don't stop. I said, don't stop. It's like the heavens are shut on you. It's like nothing is happening.
There's always a seventh time. I said there's always a seventh time. Allah Shuka, I sense a presence here. My goodness. Fila prato sofrendesa. He persevered. And the seventh time, watch this. He said, I see a small hand, like the hand of a man. A cloud as small as the hand of a man. Elijah, that's the sign. That's the sign. Get ready to run because I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Can I talk to somebody? There's a shift in the clouds. There's a shift in the atmosphere. Something is happening. Though it doesn't look like anything is happening. But if you can persevere to the end, you will see the goodness and the glory of God. Like Abraham, don't make that mistake. Don't stop. Your future is bright. And your answer is just around the corner. God richly bless you.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Ampofo. We believe you've been blessed. Reverend Ampofo is the author of 3 life-changing books. These books are Identifying Great Opportunities, Back to Eden, and Drop That Yam. You can follow Reverend Simon Ampofo on Facebook and Instagram. You can also listen to him on Audio Mac or the Apple Podcast. For inquiries, please call 0552-505083. God bless you as you enjoy grace in abundance.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.